Good morning. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report. People around the Golden State stopped what they were doing and stood in front of televisions yesterday morning listening to President Obama announce that the United States will restore full diplomatic relations with Cuba.
These 50 years have shown that isolation has not worked. It's time for a new approach.
The Census Bureau estimates there are close to 100,000 Cubans and Cuban Americans in California. We reached out to people around the state to hear their thoughts. San Francisco resident Melissa Dar Carvajal founded a cultural exchange organization, now called Plaza Cuba, that brings people to Cuba for music, dance, and study. She's married to a Cuban and has two 10-year-old Cuban American sons. Her reaction?
Well, it made me cry. It's just been so horrible for so many families here. The separation of families has been just for generations. And so in terms of family reunification and family love, this is a whole new ballgame.
Carvajal says communicating with relatives in Cuba is expensive, about $1 a minute by phone, and technology is limited, so they can't use FaceTime or Skype with family there. And travel to the island's been difficult for years.
It costs us about $10,000 to make a trip to Cuba, between the incredible air flight costs of charters and trying to get there and what we need to bring goods for the family. It's just, it's a hardship, and we can only make it every couple of years. And maybe that's going to change now. Maybe we can even have grandma come to visit. Imagine that.
In addition to the easing of travel restrictions, the White House's announcement aims to improve trade between the countries, like beefing up Cuba's internet and selling goods to Cuban entrepreneurs. Carl Voigt is a professor at USC's Marshall School of Business. He says tourism in Cuba is about to explode, which could be good for California's wine industry.
Given the geographic closeness of California, I think that there's a major opportunity for California wine producers to begin to stock the wine reserves of the best restaurants and hotels in Cuba.
And Voigt says trade won't necessarily be completely one-sided. In biotechnology, for example, the U.S. will benefit from what the Cubans have developed as well.
The Cubans have done some very interesting research in certain therapeutics, which we don't have in the U.S. And so for the first time, I think there'll be an opportunity for biotech companies to engage with the Cubans.
But President Obama's announcement did not sit well with everyone. Republican Senator from Florida Marco Rubio denounced the restoration of relations with Cuba and accused him of, quote, coddling dictators and tyrants, unquote. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, whose district is in Bakersfield, echoed this sentiment in a statement released by his office, saying it rewards Havana despite ongoing human rights abuses. The talk about who might benefit from the thawing of relations between the U.S. and Cuba was as hot as the cafecitos being served at the Tropicana Cafe in the Southern California community of Downey. This cafe is a popular hangout for longtime expats and more recent arrivals. 76-year-old Adilio Sanchez left Cuba in 1967. He's skeptical about who will benefit from an opening with the U.S., saying it may be good for the government and the system run by the Castro brothers, but not for the Cuban people.
For the government, yes, but not for the people in the island. The Cuban people will be the same way with communists, with the whole system by the Castro brothers.
But others say they were eager for a change. 38-year-old Luis Melvin Madrazo works at the cafe. He arrived from Cuba just 4 years ago. He says it's hard to send money and other necessities to his mother and teenage son on the island.
La economía está malísima en Cuba, ¿no?
Madrazo says the economic situation in Cuba is dire, that families have little to eat. He thinks with improved diplomatic relations, there wouldn't be so many barriers to visiting or helping relatives. President Obama's announcement also set the patrons abuzz at Andre's Cuban restaurant in San Diego. Daniel Mera is co-owner of the place, and his dad was born in Cuba. He said he welcomed parts of Obama's message, but he's still wary.
Before he gave anything, his olive branch or whatever you want to call it, he should have gotten something more. Democracy should come first before we do anything.
One of his customers, Anthony Rivera, is a native of Miami. He said opening up to Cuba is long overdue, and the hard line has little support among the younger generations.
It's more for sentimental reasons, the old generation that appreciated the embargo.
And thanks to Tom Fudge of KPBS in San Diego and Leslie Beristein Rojas of KPCC in Los Angeles for contributing to that report. California is battling the worst epidemic of whooping cough the state has faced in almost 70 years. Nearly 10,000 cases have been reported this year, and infants are especially vulnerable. As the California Report's health reporter April Domboski explains, Latino babies are disproportionately affected by the disease.
6 out of 10 infants infected with whooping cough are Latino. Public health officials believe this high rate is due to socioeconomic factors. Latino babies tend to live in larger households with extended family. UCLA Dr. Michael Rodriguez says these infants may come into contact with more adults who have the disease.
Aunts, uncles, grandparents who may not have had a booster shot then may be passing it on that way.
But Rodriguez and other health advocates believe the real underlying issue is a lack of health insurance. Sarah DeGuia of the California Pan-Ethnic Health Network says Latinos make up 62% of the state's uninsured.
That's the primary reason why people are not getting the preventive care that they need, and then that impacts everyone.
She says it's also important for the state to do outreach in Spanish that encourages vaccination not just for kids and pregnant mothers, but for all adults who may come into contact with babies. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
That's the California Report for Thursday, December 18th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.